Hey, great, great, great day today. Yes. If you're brand new, this might freak you out a little bit today. You're going to see a bit of what Crossroads is like in our some of our best moments. We've been building to this moment, the end of this series, for several weeks. And today, what we're going to do, my agenda for today, is to get you ready to declare an investment of a premeditated percentage you are going to give outside yourself. Salvation Army, Crossroads, Mrs. Jones's groceries, my, you know, whatever there is that God is excited about to go outside of yourself. Last week we had homework. If you did that, you got something that was in your program today. It was a little worksheet. You're not going to do anything with that today. That was just something for your own personal benefit to do. But I know the Tome family has been spending a significant amount of time just talking through what is our new baseline percentage. And also, where is my message I had on here? I have so many apps open. I'm forgetting what I'm saying. I could just say, I'm just going to keep blabbing until I remember what I'm supposed to be. Or I could say what I should be saying right now. Okay, there it is. Yes, good. So what is our new base premeditated percentage outside of ourself that we're doing? And you could use that sheet if you want to inside of your program. We're doing it way later on, but also in just a moment, we're going to have little buckets going to be passed by. You're not going to do anything with these now for a while, actually. You're going to take a little envelope and a little card that has a percentage on it, and just hold on to that, though we're going to use it later. And we're going to look at a guy here that is pretty much the exact story in many ways that I'm going to look at today from the Bible. So let's check out John.
So I was originally born in Brooklyn, New York, and it was a very, very bad part of Brooklyn, dangerous part, where bad things would happen all the time. I grew up across the street from a guy who sold drugs, and I used to see what he did and what he had. And like any, you know, young boy and the teenager, I aspired to have some of those same things. So I got arrested for armed robbery, possession of a class 3 weapon, and then I found myself standing in front of a judge. And this judge basically, you know, looked at me and was like, wow, you know, what you did comes with a 5-year mandatory sentence. And he's like, but I feel like if I send you to prison for 5 years, I'm going to be seeing you off and on for the rest of your life. If I don't send you to prison, I have a feeling that, you know, I'll probably never see you again. What do you think? And I just kind of looked at him and I was like, no, if you don't send me to prison, you'll never see me again. So this guy waived a 5-year mandatory sentence for me. And it was a miracle of God that even happened. And that opened up the door for me to go to a university, a college up in the Northeast. I went to MIT, got a degree in mechanical engineering. And this was just the beginning of this whole God experience. And I started attending a church there my freshman year. And at the same time, God was stretching me as well. And one of the biggest stretches is that I realized that even though I was at MIT, I didn't have enough money to actually cover the expenses. So I found myself in a church setting. I remember the plate kind of coming around, and at the time I was still kind of like a young, wild guy, so I carried all the money that I had around on my person, in my pocket. So I had a money clip with 800 bucks in it, and as the plate was coming around, I was thinking, like, you know what, $800 isn't going to get me very far here. It's not even going to cover expenses for the next couple of months. So I literally threw all the money in the plate with the money clip, got up, was getting ready to leave, and a few minutes later, someone came up on the stage and walked up to the microphone and said, hey, the minister wants to meet with whoever made the donation with the money clip. And I was like, oh, okay. And I thought that he just wanted to return the money clip to me. So I come up on stage, and then I go behind stage, and he looks at me, because he's an older guy, probably like in his 70s. He was like, you made that donation? And I was like, yeah. And I was only 18 years old. And he was looking at me, because back then I looked like I was probably 14 or 15. He was like, why'd you do it? And he was like acting really surprised. And I said, well, you said that if we made a generous donation, God was going to meet all of our needs. And he was like, well, praise God. And then he said the quickest prayer I've ever heard in my life. He just like grabbed my hands and he was like, Father, he was like, you see this young man's faith. He was like, multiply his generosity 100-fold. And then he let go of my hands and he walked away. And I was just like, wow, that was kind of weird. And I was like, you know, he didn't even give me back my money clip. But then my sophomore year, all of these scholarships started coming in. And scholarships from General Motors and other places. And they literally added up to like 80 grand worth of scholarships. And it was crazy because I remember going to my advisor at the time, the vice president of MIT, and I said, hey, I got all these scholarships, what do I do? And he just looked at me, he's like, well, he was like, at the end of every semester, he was like, just go down to the bursar's office and tell them to cut you a check for what's left over. So my whole junior and senior year, it was like I was being paid to go to school because I had all this extra cash coming in. And it was a blessing. It was awesome. And it just really taught me to kind of trust God and also look at money in a different way. So fast forward up, I'm in Cincinnati. I'm working at a great company. I'm making a lot of money, which is really cool. And one thing that I kind of struggled with on the approval side is I always like to be dressed really nice. I was a clothes horse. And I used to spend a lot of money on clothes, ridiculous amounts. One day I was looking at a magazine. I'll never forget it. It was a GQ magazine. And Giorgio Armani was on the cover. And that's why I was looking at the magazine, because I really thought that he was the greatest designer in the world and everything. And they're showing this photo spread of him on this motor yacht that was like, I don't know, maybe like 150 or 200 million bucks. Had a helipad or a helipad, I don't even know how you pronounce it, on the back for his helicopter and stuff. And I'm looking at this shot and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And all of a sudden there's this picture of this bathroom. And I kind of felt this voice, and it wasn't an audible voice, but it was a voice on the inside. And the voice was like, yeah, you paid for some of the stuff in that bathroom. And then I started thinking about like all the cash that I'd blown on really expensive clothes. And it just like, it was staggering. I was like, wow, I really did. And this is a horrible investment. And then in addition to that, there was another time where I was trying to feed my appetite for more money so that I could squander it on other stuff. And I was playing real heavy in the stock market. And I got burned on some biotech stocks when the market crashed. And I was just thinking like, wow, you know, I've lost well over six figures in this, and I just could have did something else with that. And once again, I heard this little voice, and it was just like, you know, what if you'd done the same thing that you did in college with that amount of money? What would have happened? How would you have blessed and advanced God's kingdom? And then what, you know, how would God have blessed you? And that was when the light bulb really came on, and I was like, okay, there's definitely a different way and a different approach that I need to take towards money. It forced me to kind of re-examine myself and go back to what I call basic blocking and tackling financial fundamentals. And it all starts with this idea that everything that I have, it really does come from God. Saying, God, I believe and understand that all of this comes from you. So the first part of this is that, you know, I want to give back to you. And for me, that was tithing. And tithing is just giving 10% of whatever God has blessed you with and entrusting that back to him. And it's really cool because that's, you know, the one place in the Bible where you actually don't even have to apply faith to receive the benefit. He says, just, you know, prove me, test me, you know, try this out and watch what happens, because something is going to happen. But then in addition to tithing, it's, you know, just looking at ways to kind of like put other people's needs before your own and looking at how to bless other people to build God's kingdom. And for me and my family, it's just become a lifestyle. It's what we do. It's who we are. It's in my mission statement. I am a godly philanthropist. I want to reflect God's kingdom and his love by being a financial blessing to others. And then it also comes from really being sensitive to where the Holy Spirit is, you know, leading you and guiding you. You know, I guess I would say that God just really challenged us. He invited us, but he also challenged us to give aggressively. And what this has looked like for us in terms of a lifestyle is that, you know, on average, my wife and I are giving anywhere from 30 to 50% of our income back to build the kingdom of God, to, you know, churches and foundations and individuals with primarily just a God-centric focus. To me, money is just a tool to reflect God's character and remind people that He loves them, that He hasn't forgotten about them, and that He'll always take care of them. And once you have that tangible relationship, then whatever God has blessed you with, you can trust Him with it, and that there's going to be a return on investment.
Isn't that cool? I love that story. You know, today isn't just about getting things done. It's about God getting something done inside of us. And that story is about God doing something inside of John, then him doing something outside of himself. It reminds me of a story in the Bible where someone received an investment similar to John. How did he get an investment? He got an investment from a judge that gave him another chance, and now he's returning an investment to other people. The story that we look at today is from the life of Jesus, and he's walking through Jericho, and it says this in Luke chapter 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Whenever I hear this story or read it, I think about how I originally heard it, which is different than many of us. When we started Crossroads 16, 17 years ago, we said, let's start a church that's wired and created from beginning to end for people who have given up on going to church but haven't given up on the idea of God. So there's some things that I have in my history as an long-time churchgoer, as a little kid, that many of us in here may not have any experience with at all, but some of us do. You know how you first heard about this story. It was in Sunday school, and it was a song. And the song went something like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree. Jesus he wanted to see. Let me tell you something right now. I believe that I'm going to go to heaven, and there's going to be people there that I've never met before I'm going to interact with. One of them is going to be Zacchaeus. And I believe Zacchaeus is like, he's not happy that people have been singing a song about him. Wee little man. In fact, I'm sure that Zacchaeus, the first time he heard that song, he said, "I hope there's a special place in hell reserved whoever wrote that song." No man wants to be referred to as a wee little man. Nobody. Wee and little. Nobody wants that as a part of them as a man, a wee little man. The real sad thing about that is not just that Zacchaeus doesn't like hearing wee little man, but really the thing that we're going to see him do is so mind-blowing that it's crazy that all I thought of was him being a wee little man, a sycamore tree, and not this learnability that we can apply to our lives today. He is despised by the nation of Israel. He is a Jew. He would use his Jewish contacts to understand how the money was flowing, and then he was giving it to Rome as a tax collector. And so the other Jews hated him. They couldn't stand who he was. And Jesus, he's coming through. He sees him. Why is he up on a sycamore tree? Not just because he wants to get a better view, because actually, if you're short, that's one of the advantages you have. If you're at a parade, no one bothers if you stand in front of them. I mean, I'm 6'1", and, you know, if you're 5'4", fine. You can stand in front of me all day. It doesn't bother me at all. So it's not really just to get a better view. It's actually to get away from the crowd, because he is hated as a person who is done them wrong financially. And so Jesus sees him, calls him down, and says, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house today." Zacchaeus receives an investment. Zacchaeus receives an investment. Now, today in our culture, if someone invites themselves over to our house, that's not a compliment at all. That's an annoying, dysfunctional person is what that is. And please don't come up to you and say, "Hey, Brian, tonight I must have dinner at your house." Oh, no, you won't. In fact, you'll never have dinner at my house. Yeah, that's what you're gonna. But in that culture, to go to somebody's house and say, "I want to be with you for dinner," would just say, "I want to have a personal relationship with you. I want to invest in you. I want to honor you." Zacchaeus is mind blown. He's up in the street, comes scurrying down. This is crazy. Now, all week, many of us have been thinking through our finances, just doing the math on, you know, what income we made last year, which our taxes makes it really clear what our income was last year and what our giving was last year and all that kind of stuff. That's a good exercise to put pencil to paper to do number work every once in a while. Here's another exercise I encourage you to do. Put pencil to paper to identify the investments God has made in you. This is a great exercise. One of my favorite spiritual disciplines I do. It's called giving thanks. Let me tell you some of the ways that Jesus has given me an investment, and you in here have received an investment. Zacchaeus receives an investment. I've received an investment. You received an investment. In fact, I've received a bunch of them. Here's a couple of mine as I recount them. The fact that I was adopted, that my birth mom chose to give me up for adoption. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for her and my birth dad, whoever they were, that they had crazy genes, or she did amazing prenatal drugs or something like that. But it's weird to me that I have this crazy resistance to disease and sickness. Nobody who's ever worked for me can ever remember me taking a sick day off. I have these weird immunities. It's an investment that God's made in me, that I would be able to be adopted into an upper middle class family that valued education. I got a college education. That was an investment that was made in me. That I actually, this is the biggest investment for me. Well, in high school, I went to a place, an organization called Young Life, that other people had invested in and supported a structure that they told me at a camp for the first time I heard about Jesus in a language I could understand. For the first time, I heard humor mixed with the truth of God. For the first time, I actually had fun and had something happen in my life. I received the Holy Spirit. I received Jesus into my life. It's the greatest investment he's ever made in me. I remember that. I remember him bringing me to a place where I asked Libby to marry me. And it was an investment he made in me because I didn't even know that I was getting as good of a wife as I was asking for. That was an investment he made in me. But I have three kids right now that all like me. That's an investment that God has made me. And it's serious, that's something. If your kids like you, the older they are, they like you, that's pretty good stuff. I look at that as an investment that God has made in me. The fact that I get to do this job, have my needs and a lot of my wants met, and feel like I'm building into you and having an impact the way I can, that is an unbelievable blessing. And you have these things too. This is who Jesus is. He invests in us. And so as he invests in Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus starts coming down out of the sycamore tree, and the story continues. So he hurried, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. This is all the crowds. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." So Zacchaeus is not liked by the Jews, and all the Jews are following Jesus. He's healing, he's teaching, everyone's kind of running. It's like the main event, it's like a parade kind of thing. Stops, Jesus calls him out, "Zacchaeus." So he must have met him before, or he knew him just as all the other Jews did, as the guy who's been taking too much tax. He calls him out. Guy comes down, people are seeing this amazing display of affection towards Zacchaeus, and they start grumbling. Now let's do this. Everyone say grumble. Say grumble. No. Gosh, we got a little jumpy crowd in here, don't we? Yeah, that's wonderful. Say grumble in any cadence or any speed you want, but say grumble 5 times on 3. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's what it's like when people grumble. Ah, grumble, grumble, grumble. Ah, that's exactly what's happening. And they're grumbling. They go, wait, Jesus, he's supposed to be all loving. He's being with that guy who's unloving. Wait. I thought Jesus was all like, oh, I thought he was all pure and everything. And here he's with somebody who's impure. Ah, grumble, 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 grumble. Wait. Jesus says he's the Son of God, God himself. And yet he's spending time with someone who's a sinner. Like, ah, grumble, 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 grumble. They don't understand that this is the God that we serve. A God who invests, who gives, even when nothing has actually been earned. And Zacchaeus, he comes down, something clicks for him. So he starts talking numbers. We talked a lot about numbers last week, a little bit more today. He starts talking numbers. He says, okay, right now, 50% of everything I have in assets goes to the poor, 50. And if I've cheated you, right now, tell me who it is, form a line, I'm going to give you back your original amount, and I'm going to pay it back fourfold. I'm going to give you a 400% return on you being cheated. Now, where does this come from? I mean, this This is never given anywhere in the Bible. This is what you have to do is the very first thing that you receive Jesus, the very first time you become a follower. So there's no instructions in the scriptures that say this. Jesus hasn't told him, you need to do this. Where does this come from? Well, going to the poor, whenever you start talking about numbers, it's a little bit weird when you look in the Bible and try to figure out how much this, how much that. It's a little bit weird. That's why today we're just saying, what is my premeditated percentage that I'm going to go to as a base percentage? And I should always be growing that, not just looking at sort of the gold starting standard of the tithe. It's confusing when you take a look at these things in the Bible. Like there was a tithe there, but it was a little bit odd. It wasn't the only offering people would give, and it was a tithe that was twice a year and once every 3 years. So it was actually 23.3%. Hard to understand. So it was 23.3%, yet he's giving 50% of all his assets right now. There was a law that if you had cheated somebody, you were to return it and add a fifth to it. So it was a 20% return or a 20% penalty. A 400% penalty? There's no reason for that. And Jesus, again, he's not said, this is what you have to do. But when he sees it, when he sees that Zacchaeus has done this, he realizes Zacchaeus not only receives investment, Zacchaeus returns an investment. This is what happens. Every person who receives Jesus, who receives an investment, there's something that clicks where we just go, I just want to return. There's something bubbling inside of me that I actually have to give out of the overflow of my heart. When Jesus hears about this, he's stupefied. And here's what he says in verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus says, my mission is to seek and save that which is lost. And when I see here that Zacchaeus has had this commitment to an investment, I know something has been received inside him. Today salvation is here. Today, right now. Jesus, this is the main thing he's about. He's about going after those who are disconnected from him, whether it be a 16-year-old upper middle class white kid like myself, who was going to church my whole life but really had not received Jesus, or whether it's a 30-year-old mom on welfare that disconnects from him, or whether it's a CEO of a Fortune 100 company. This is Jesus' main mission. It's what he came to do. That's why here at Crossroads, the most money we invest in anything bar none is getting people to understand Jesus and to grow spiritually. We make no apologies for that. Far and away, it's the most important thing that we do. All the things that Jesus talks about, those in poverty, and we do a lot there, he says, the main thing I come to seek and save that which was lost. That's why I'm here. That's why when I hear a note, not hear, you can't really hear a note, can you? When I get a note forwarded to me that someone left behind at the coffee kiosk last week, I want to share it. Check this out. The little note says, I think this cup of coffee was the tipping point. I'm not an atheist anymore. Crossroads is just too cool for there not to be God. Thank you. Isn't that cool? See that and I go, gosh, our coffee bill is high, very high, and we invest in that coffee to make it a warm place for all of us to have a cup and to bring down barriers. I thought this was a woman because it has a smiley face at the end of it. If you're a guy, you don't want to be called a wee little man, nor do you generally sign your notes with smiley faces. But nonetheless, I found out, though, that there's a friend of mine whose neighbor, a guy, apparently he's a very manly guy. He just had a good day there, so put a little smiley face. I love that. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that cool? That is very, very cool. God is still going and searching and calling people down, inviting himself into our lives. As he did 2,000 years ago, he's still doing it today. Our three sites, Mason, Oakley, Florence, if you did a demographic study of around a 10-minute driving distance around all those sites, you would find that there are roughly 250,000 people within 10-minute driving distance of all three of those sites, of our sites, that have no faith involvement or little to no faith involvement. Man, I'll tell you what, that not only breaks my heart, that motivates me to see Jesus' mission statement fulfilled, to see it go to a new place. And one of the things that keeps back Jesus' mission from being fulfilled is a lack of funds to make it happen. That's why the scriptures talk so much about it. And what's he is so impressed with Zacchaeus, when Zacchaeus says, I'm going to give these things, is what Zacchaeus is doing is he's giving away his power. You know, the reason why giving is always a difficult topic is because you're giving away the ability to do things that you're not going to be able to do, right? Or if you're just a saver, you're saving, and your savings represent power to be able to handle any problem that comes to you. And so when Zacchaeus gives this amount of money away, Jesus is saying what's happening, gosh, you're really giving up your power. Because when you give up your power, you're saying to God, I need you to be my power. Not my money, I need you. Money can be a power, but I want you to be my primary power. This is why Jesus is so dumbstruck with what's happening. He's like, wow, something significant has just taken place in this man. We give because we want to give up power. And the reason why oftentimes I talk about these things, there's not a lot of traction is we like the idea of Jesus, but we don't like the idea of giving power to Jesus. I don't know what's going to happen today with you, what you've already determined coming in here, what you're going to do. I don't know if you're, for the first time, you're going to say, you know what, that 10% thing, I have faith, I'm going to do 10% outside of myself. Maybe your faith right now is not at a place where you're willing to do it. Maybe it's 3. Maybe it's, I don't know, you've been going beyond the tithe for our family. I mean, we've been beyond the tithe for a long time, but we're looking at the monthly amount we give incremental to our normal exceeding of the tithe to Game Change. We're saying, gosh, we've been hitting that monthly nut every month now for 2 years, and you know what? We've kind of adjusted our lifestyle to that. That's our new base. That's our new base. Whatever it is for you, recognize that when we do invest, we give God the ability, we give God resources. It sounds weird to say that because God doesn't need any resources, but God takes those resources and actually puts them to work. And the reason why giving doesn't happen with most of us, and it doesn't happen with most of us. I mean, we did beans and rice. It was half of us who did this. And what actually makes Crossroads happen around here is 1/3 of us. 1/3. People say, oh, I give in cash. Let me tell you, our safe is this big, and it's never full. We have about 1/3 that really, really engage financially around here. And what hurts me about that is it does make me go, okay, man, what's happening with how we're approaching this? Maybe we're doing this wrong. God, maybe just you don't have a hold of people's lives. It's a really rough thing. And let me just say this too. If these kind of things don't start to excite you, this just might not be the place for you. It just probably isn't. And I just want to release you of any like religious burden that says, I need to come to Crossroads every week. No, you don't. You don't. When we come here and we invest, we're seeing a crazy return on our investment. Crazy. Let's take a look at some numbers we looked at last week, and then I'll give you some more numbers. This right here is a return on investment that we've had since 1996 when we started. The green is a budget, blue is people, orange is lives outside of Crossroads that's affected. When people look at some of these shapes, progressions, numbers, you know what I see? I see lives when I look at this. Like, I see Paul. Paul was an agnostic when he came to Crossroads. He was a law professor at UC. He came to know Christ. He became a tither as part of our financial team. I look at the difference in his family. That was crazy. All of these shapes and sizes represent a number, represent a person. The numbers represent a person. I think of Greg and Heather, who were divorced with young children when they first came to Crossroads. They came unbeknownst to one another. They came to different services. And they independently, Jesus invested in them, and they came to know Christ, and they found out they were going to Crossroads, and they got remarried. They got remarried, and they had their kids have reunited. That's what I think of with it. I think of Art, guy I've known for a long time. I had his name on my mirror praying for him as I would brush my teeth. And man, when he started coming around Crossroads, I mean, I won't give him too much judgmental things, but he was needing God badly, badly. Man, and he came into a place where his heart is surrendered, and he'd become a tither in recent years. And my boy, you get him talking about that, it is fun to hear him talk about the life change in his life. This doesn't represent people I've seen who are in our recovery groups, healthy sexuality I've interacted with, said, man, my sex life is unaddictive and healthy for the friend. I mean, it goes on and on and on. That's what the things that Jesus came to seek and save. Now, if you're an investor and you hear projections of what it's going to look like, generally they refer to the hockey stick effect, actually derisively saying, well, it looks like a hockey stick, but that's not actually what's going to happen. Actually, that's what's been happening with us. This is what's been happening This is a return on all the investment that's happening here from 1996 to 2012. And if you just continued this, if we have more people being faithful at the same rate, actually, you actually have a hockey stick effect in reality. Friends, that is crazy. Great. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. All of that stuff right there, that's not fuddy-duddy math. That's real math. And all of that stuff there could happen. I tell you, I love what God's doing here. And I hope every pastor feels the same way about every church they lead, and every director of every nonprofit feels the same way about them. I'll tell you what, that thing right there, there's nowhere you can get that return. There's nowhere I know of in the last 17 years where that kind of beautiful potential producing those kind of things, that nowhere, nowhere. It is beautiful. It's unprecedented, and it can be just the beginning. This right here, these beans. Like I said, half of us did this. And you know what? The average thing that those of us who did was $37. That was average, $37. And you know, we gave $377,000 outside of ourselves. 8 pools are open because of us. Hundreds of kids in other countries are going to have food because of us. Hundreds. Yeah, applaud at any time you want. Kids are going to get preschool education inside of our country right here, right now. And you know what? No one went hungry. In fact, for most of us, there wasn't any, it was a different diet, but it didn't hurt at all, did it? In fact, before I say anything else, I also want to say, again, I'm really weird giving numbers because this is not a fair share thing. I'm just giving numbers as examples. I'm trying not to share numbers about what might be on your card because I don't know what it should be. And I'm not trying to tell you what it, hint, hint. But here's one thing. I know a lot of us in here are going, gosh, my little bit doesn't help. Your $37 did a lot. A lot. What would happen if we gave like that, all of us, all the time? You know what would happen? This is real. We ran the numbers. And again, no one went hungry. We went to movies, many of us did. We had other stuff. We were buying stuff. It wasn't like we had a bad life, all right? We made an adjustment. You know what we could have? We, every year, if we did that every week, made an adjustment, every year we would build a new CityLink. Every single year. In fact, I just heard from the CityLink staff. They have a little huddle with people who have just found a job, and one of the guys who had just found a job said, man, we just need to thank all the people at Crossroads who invested in us so that we could go further. Isn't that awesome? It's great. But it's not just that. It's not just that. We could have every year a new CityLink every year, and every year start a new Florence with no additional debt. Cash. Every year. Every year, there'd be a new site of Crossroads where people are hearing about Jesus in a winsome and attractive way, becoming a part of it every year. And not only every year could we do a new CityLink, a new fully paid-for site of Crossroads, building we own, and we would do 160 new aftercare homes for girls rescued from the rape-for-profit industry in India every year. Now, I got to tell you, if you can't hear that and say, oh, my goodness, that would be awesome. And also see the track record of 17 years and say, no, that's not pie in the sky. No, that could be reality. You don't have a heart. Come on. This is good. This is really good. And so, man, I just want to say again, this is a great defining moment for us as individuals where God is building into us and we get to build into others and for others of us. This is a real good gut check of why is it that I've never really been willing to adjust anything in my life to make things like this happen. You see, the thing about when we use money to purchase things or even to save, it gives us an immediate buzz, doesn't it? I mean, I go buy a new pair of shoes, like, ooh, cool shoes. Yeah. I go buy a new, you know, whatever. I go buy a new motorcycle part. I go take a vacation. Or if I'm your big saver, ooh, I can go online and I can take a look at my new savings and get a buzz out of looking how much I have there. Nothing wrong with doing those things, by the way. Savings are good. But just admit, part of the reason why it's hard to invest is because we don't get that immediate buzz. And what we have to do is we have to give ourselves the awareness that this is like a long-term disciplined investment. Everything that's important to you, the most important things to you, you've looked at on a percentage basis. For instance, the first time you bought a house, those who have houses, or those who are looking for a house right now, what do? You figure out what percentage of your income you can give to a mortgage, right? And then you just do the math of what the mortgage rate, how much of a payment you can get from the bank, and bam, that's your budget. Because you premeditated a percentage of your income you're willing to give to housing. Same thing with my retirement. I have a premeditated percentage of my giving that's going to retirement. Someday, I'll be gumming my cream of wheat, and I'll be making up even more words, and you won't want me around anymore, you want me gone, and I won't be able to make money doing this. And you're going, I actually would like you gone right now. Yeah. Someday it'll be like that. So it's important to me to be able to take care of myself later on when I'm away from here, when you won't have me anymore. And so I take a premeditated percentage, and it goes to a mutual fund. It's a Vanguard account. And here's the weird thing. When those statements come, guess what I do with those statements? I throw them right in the garbage. I've gone years without looking at a Vanguard statement. Years. Why? Because I'm not looking at it to get an immediate buzz. I know that that's a discipline that's good for my long-term health, that I will somehow get the payment later on. I look at it and maybe bring somebody in, just the right fund, that corner, that sort of thing. But I don't make any investment thinking, does this make me feel good right now? It's for the long-term advancing. And this is what giving is. It's making an investment, something that's for long-term advancing. And every generous giver is a percentage giver, and they start with a percentage to some structure that can go to work for them. I mean, I love that we give, and we should be giving to, you know, Compassion International, Mrs. Jones's Groceries, my friend who can't afford tires, this or that. I mean, those are all awesome, awesome things. But there's also something about having a structure where you just say, as a disciplined percentage that's going to go to something that fuels God's work. This is what we see in the Bible. Here's one example, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. We've talked a little bit about the tithe, but let's look at something else many people don't see in here. Into the storehouse. The nation of Israel would have an infrastructure called the storehouse that they would take a percentage of their income and put it there so it could go and be distributed as the leadership structure saw that it should be distributed. Then the New Testament shifts a little bit. Look what said the New Testament. They brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to as any had need. And another one, they had a percentage or kept back a percentage that they said they were going to give and only brought part of it. And what do they do with it again? They lay it at the apostles' feet. Crossroads is a storehouse. It's a leadership structure where we have the ability to do disciplined investments out of obedience to God for a preset percentage that we feel like is right and He would be pleased with right now. And it goes to a place where it works. It builds structure. It builds infrastructure. It does things. I'm sorry. You couldn't get any 100,000 individuals who have your same beliefs and just see if those 100,000 people would do the things that we've done the last year. Can't happen. Never happens. Let's all give organically as needs meet. Let's all text $10 to Red Cross. Wonderful. Man, when you really want to start investing and see returns and really honoring God, you realize this is an important priority to me and I want to handle it the way I do other things in my life. Last verse, John 7, 16 to 17. So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me. And if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority." Jesus says, we get excited about doing God's will. See, the thing is, all the stuff that we've talked about in here, we haven't really grown spiritually. If we've only learned, spiritual learning isn't spiritual growth. It's not. Spiritual emotions, contrary to pop American spirituality, spiritual emotional feelings are not spiritual growth. What spiritual growth is spiritual doing. That's what Jesus says. When you do the will of the Father. So the only time we've actually grown so far in this 6 weeks, the only thing that we've actually done to grow is this. Because what? We were doing so. And didn't we feel that growth? Didn't we feel that? It was cool. It was good. It was sweet. We give away our power and we come to this place where we say, God, I want to step out. I want to come down out of the tree. I want to step over a line. I want to take an act of faith of giving up a piece of my power that my money gives me because I want to put it into the power that you want to have happen in this world. And God looks at that and says, man,
when you do, you later on get the affirmation. You don't get the affirmation from the idea. You get the affirmation from the doing. We're going to be able to do these in just a moment. And I just want to encourage you to just enjoy this moment. This has been fun. It's been my funnest part of Crossroads Service for a long time. It's going to happen in just a few minutes. It's really, really cool. And as we fill these out, the most important thing that you do may be having legible handwriting on that email. Because we really don't want you just to come up here and say, everyone else will do it, I'm going to do it, and just give us a lot more work to follow through on. We actually want to give you an email in very short order for whatever your preset percentage is going outside of yourself, and whatever amount of that is going to Crossroads is a great investment. We need to send you an email follow-up so that you can actually start doing, because as beautiful as this moment's going to be, the beauty is when we actually do, when we actually invest. So if you want to pull those out right now. That was cool. I just sat down and she just played like that. It's like we planned that or something like that. Watch this. That's power right there. That's good. That's good stuff right there. So hey, this is it. This is a time for us to say, Jesus, I've received, and now I want to return. I want to return. And wherever you are, whatever God's done, some of us in here might be saying, gosh, I can't do this. I can't. My little bit isn't going to matter. If you think your little bit isn't going to matter, let me tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not the truth. It is not the truth. Together, we can do amazing things. We have done amazing things. And it's a really great time for you to just say something to God. Man, I'm getting serious about this as I am other things. Get a percentage down. So maybe you want to huddle up with your spouse here if you want to talk about that. Maybe you want to just kind of sit in silence and pray about this. God, I pray that you'd move. You help people see you and feel you right now. Amen. So again, this is not something like, hey, let's all suck it up and make this happen. We've done that before. This is not one of those times. This is just I'm giving a regular percentage of my spirituality, of who I am. And then what you'll do is you'll be able to come up here. We've got stairs in the corners here and over on the very edges. Come all the way up here. Everyone's going to come up here. Don't knock over anything. And then you'll come back here. And now you could do one of two things. You could take a little thumbtack and stick it up here, which sort of represents a bit of pressure it takes. Or just throw it up there and we'll get it. Falls over, we'll get it. And then you can exit right out of the sides here. So for all who would invest as God has invested in us, for all who would be led by the Spirit of God, let's enjoy this moment.